You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
I'm not a man, not a human being. I'm a complex space-time event. I am Lord President of Gallifrey, the traveler from beyond time. I am the Sandman, the oncoming storm. I am the Kar-Farak Gatri, destroyer of worlds. And sometimes, only sometimes, I am your worst nightmare. I'm the Doctor, and I take care of my friends.
Welcome to the Oncoming Storm, your weekly Doctor Who spin-off media podcast, featuring Josh Wilson, Ashley Rayburn, Sasha DeZuba, and Rachel Stewart. This is your podcast about Doctor Who that you won't see on television.
Hello and welcome to episode 132 of the Oncoming Storm podcast, your podcast for Doctor Who spinoff media such as books, audios, and comics, or anything else that we decide is a spinoff thing. I don't know where you are in the world, but we are here in the United States, and today, the day this is released, is Thanksgiving. So today we're going to spend some time just looking back on the year and giving thanks for things that we've done, but then we're going to talk about some nonfiction books that we love, and we're going to count those down. But I am Ashley, and I am joined, as always, with Josh and Rachel. How are you guys tonight, other than laughing because I kind of messed up and kind of didn't and tried to keep going and didn't, and then yeah.
You just kept on plowing. I'm proud of you, Ashley. I know it's been a while. You've had some time off, and you're just now getting back again with us, but you made it, kind of.
Mostly.
So that's good. So yes, it is Thanksgiving when this is coming out. We have are stuffed on turkey, and we've managed to roll myself away from the dinner table so I can get this podcast up for all of you good people. So be thankful for me, and I hope everybody has had a good holiday.
What a great way to start a podcast. Be thankful for me. Should we just start praying to you too?
Well, if you really want to, I wouldn't tell you no.
Be thankful for me.
Well, I'm here great. On the holidays doing work. I should get paid overtime.
What you should do is have a ringtone that just says, "Be thankful for me." Like the IT crowd, message for me.
Oh, well, I hope everybody had a good holiday. I know I did. I hope, is everybody getting ready to head out for Black Friday and get all the good deals?
It is Blackish Friday tomorrow, that is for sure.
I'm sleeping in. Y'all all can get your $20 crock pot. I ain't got nothing.
I don't do it anymore. I just buy off Amazon. Amazon typically has it all out there anyway.
Amazon is the bomb.
Why should I go out in the cold?
We have Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday rules.
Because it's cold out there, yo.
It's really cold.
We got a polar vortex happening in the United States of America.
Yeah, but don't say that or everyone up north will just, like, laugh at us.
Okay, seriously, time out. Like, I love all of our northern peoples, but this is the South and we can't handle snow. Like,
it's just a thing.
I'm just saying that, like, I know what our limits are, and, like, we can't drive in it, and I'm sorry, and there's, like, one snowplow per state. So, yeah. Don't hate us. Just don't.
Don't be haters, everybody.
Don't be hating.
All right. So, yes, as Ashley said, it is time.
But you know what tomorrow also is?
What's that?
Lord.
The day that everyone just keeps playing Christmas music over and over for like the next month.
Hey, I've already started with the Christmas music. It's okay. Once November hits, it's okay to play Christmas music. That's my
fair
decision.
Fair game.
Anyway. So as I was saying, it is Thanksgiving. It is time to give thanks. And we here at the Oncoming Storm, we have a lot to be thankful for. And we just thought it'd be nice to go around the table and give our thanks for the things that have happened to us in 2014, with a little particular eye towards Doctor Who, of course. So I'm going to let Ashley start us off. What are you thankful for this year?
Oh. Man, you would start with me, wouldn't you?
Well, that's what you get for showing up last.
I intro'd the episode. How did I start show up last?
I'm counting back towards 2 weeks ago when you didn't show.
Oh, sure. Okay. You know, I've had as many of you guys know, I've had a pretty busy year. First of all, some non-Doctor Who stuff. I'm really thankful for, being able to do... it wasn't a convention. It was a toy show that I put on a few months ago. We worked on that from February onward until October, and it turned out really well. And it was a really cool show, a big community support in my small town that I live in, and had a really good turnout. Lots of our friends from Atlanta came. Josh was able to come up and help me move some tables and. Of course, Rachel and Kim and all of our friends from Atlanta, or not all of them, but many of our friends from Atlanta came and it was a really good turnout, and I really had a great time doing that. I've done so many other things this year, and it's been such a phenomenal year. I feel like I'm forgetting something really important, but I'm really thankful for for just this year and the experiences that I've had and those things. But in terms of Doctor Who, I mean, we've had such a great year in Doctor Who. We have a new Doctor on TV, and I kind of feel bad for stealing Rachel's thunder here, but I mean, I'm very thankful for Capaldi and the things we've gotten this year. We've had a great year in audio. You know, I think it started last year with things like, we're coming off the 50th anniversary year, and I guess right now we're past year 50 now. We're actually year 51. So we've had another great year there. We've had some really great Doctor Who this year. Like I said, coming off of the 50th anniversary year, we've had great announcements. You know, we've had a War Doctor novel. It's just been phenomenal. I don't know if I can even say anything else without just sputtering on. We have, you know, comics. We have three new comic lines that came out this year by Titan. Unfortunately, IDW lost the license, but I'll tell you, we've talked about this on the podcast. Those Titan comics are phenomenal. So I'm going to jump off there and let the other guys talk a bit.
All right. As if we didn't know, what are you thankful for in 2014, Rachel?
A lot to be thankful for. I went to a lot of conventions this year, and I had a lot of fun. I think I've lost count, but I think it was 8 conventions. Jeez. I know. Like, when do I sleep? Never. When am I home? Never. And I have to say that I think I started the year off with the best convention, which was Galley. It was the first time I ever went to Galley. And it was amazing, and I'll be going next year. So if you see me at convention, I'll probably have Oncoming Storm ribbons because I'm prepared this year and I understand the ribbon deal. Otherwise, like, highlights for my year would definitely be my trip to New York City to see Alex Kingston in Macbeth with Sir Kenneth Branagh. I had front row seats and I got to see her perform 10 feet from my face. And it was incredible. It was like one of the most amazing things I've ever been to. I got to go with some of my River sisters and Ashley's wife, Jennifer, came with me and it was wonderful. In terms of Doctor Who things, I mean, what can I say about Capaldi that the internet hasn't said? Not much, really. But the main thing is Series 8, I think, is really important to me because it took a character I didn't care about, which is Clara, and made me not only like her and see the strength in her, but, like, also just, like, and, you know, at this point, the Christmas episode hasn't come out, and we don't know if she signed on for another season. But now I don't want her to go. Like, I love the element that she has with Capaldi that she didn't have with Matt Smith. And I think it's really interesting, and I'll be very sad to see that go. I know some other people want Clara to go, and they want a non-20th century companion. And that would be fine, but I feel like she's gotten really interesting as of late, and I would hate to see that go away. Also, Missy. Missy is a treasure. She is like a gift, and all the people that are angry about Missy, like, just go to the left. Like, I don't even want to hear it. Like, John Sims' master just looks completely just a joke compared to Missy. She is amazing. But that's me.
Well, I guess it leaves me. So what am I thankful for in 2014? Well, I guess I need to be thankful for all of the good people that have helped out with the podcast over the last year. Not just my wonderful co-hosts like Ashley, Rachel, and Sasha when he deems to show up, but everybody that filled in during the course whenever I needed somebody or was in a bind. People like Scott Vigier, Scott Coles, a lot of people who just helped out me behind the scenes. And of course, thankful for anybody out there listening to us. There's not a super whole lot of you, but the few that are out there, you're very loyal. And I do appreciate that. And I do hope that we do a good job for you out there and that you are getting some sort of enjoyment for us sitting here nattering on constantly about Doctor Who and not even the stuff that you see on TV. It's, you know, we're the niche within a niche, and that can be difficult going sometimes, but I am thankful for everybody out there that does listen to help us out, and it kind of keeps me going even when sometimes I feel like it's just kind of a waste of time and I'm talking to the air and nothing else. So I do thank everybody out there that has supported us over the years that we've been going, in particular this year. And of course, thankful for the family that puts up with it. I've got a wife and two kids, and I'm constantly going to go, oh, I got to read this. Oh, I got to listen to this. So I've got to go record. Can you please leave me alone for a couple hours a night while I go and record this? And very thankful for them so that this podcast gets done, because without them, it wouldn't happen. So I guess it's all the major things that I'm thankful for over the course of the year. And Doctor Who wise, I'm going to buck the trend, and I am going to be thankful for Stephen Moffat, because no matter what anybody says about him, he has brought us a tremendous year of Doctor Who in 2014. It has been the best year for my money of Doctor Who since it came back to the show. And you know, he's been doing it for 4 years now and has to kind of change things up. And it's not always perfect, and nobody ever is. And he doesn't always make the right decision. But I think doing the best that he can, and he continues to improve and work at it. And I think that is something to be very mindful of when you're looking at what he has to go through, and then having to put up with everything that he has to put up with online when people are complaining and bitching and moaning. And it's not a job that I would want, but he needs to go out there and give it his best. And like I said, he takes from lots of different sources, and that's okay, because he takes from good sources a lot of times and turns it into stuff that we get to see on TV. So I'm thankful for that, and thankful for that wonderful Peter Capaldi as well, because he's been brilliant. And, you know, for my own personal stuff, looking at like Big Finish. Every year, I wouldn't make it through my year without Big Finish. It keeps me occupied at work. It gives me the doctors that I know and love that I want more of. Doing such great things with like Paul McGann and the Dark Eye sets. And we finally got Adric back this year and a cool box set with the Fifth Doctor. And just the fact that we've got Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy and Peter Davison and Paul McGann still out there doing Doctor Who. Very, very grateful for. And honestly, it a lot of times surpasses what is on television for me. So I'm thankful that it is continuing going strong. And it only seems like it's going to be getting bigger and better. They've really seemed to have capitalized on the movement from the 50th anniversary and seem to be getting larger and better with each passing day. So I guess that's what I'm thankful for in 2014. With a particular mention of, I guess, just because I just listened to a Dark Eye story. Very thankful for that. It's awesome. Thank you. All right. So
I do want to say real quick also just a shout out to Jeff that helps us with the comic episodes as well.
And Jeff will be listening to this, and you are definitely included in my thanks, Jeff. More than anybody else, you have helped us out so much over the year, and knowing that we can always go to you for our comic stuff and having great opinions and great discussions with you, you have helped us out so much. You honestly deserve to have your name on the podcast as well, and because we couldn't do all that comic stuff without you, and I'm very grateful for you. And as I was talking about the fill-in people, I didn't even think about you because it's honestly, it's like you're part of the show now. So thanks for bringing that up, actually, because I'm definitely thankful for Jeff. Yes, thank you so much, Jeff. All right. Well, I think that does it for the Thanksgiving portion. So now it's time to move into our top 10 non-fiction / reference Doctor Who books. Ashley and I have both made a list. Rachel, you're welcome to stay if you'd like, or if you just want to go on and go get some rest for your cold. I know you're still recovering and could probably use the rest if you'd like.
The never-ending cold. I'll see you guys later.
Well, feel better, Rachel. Take care, all right?
All right.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, so then we're two. Just like the old days, Ashley.
Just like the old days.
So like I was saying, we've both made a list of our top 10 nonfiction and reference Doctor Who books. Now, I think we both approached this from our favorites. Not necessarily that we think are the best, the most well-made, but these are our personal favorites, factoring in everything that went into it, nostalgia, what we, you know, had growing up, et cetera, right?
That's exactly how I made my list.
So yeah, so while I think a lot of these on here are probably the best examples of nonfiction reference books you will be able to find out there, it is from a very personal standpoint, and of course it's also limited to what we've actually read, of course, and I've read a lot of reference books. I know Ashley has the same, but obviously there's over 100 of them out there at the very minimum, and we don't have them all. So these are what we've been exposed to and what our own personal favorites are. So if one of your favorites doesn't get mentioned, it's not that it's not a good book. It may be something that we don't have or have been exposed to, or it's just it may have been further
or
down
something
the list.
Else, yeah, something else may have just kind of trumped it because of the nostalgic piece for us. For me, especially.
Yeah. And I will note before we start that a book that probably would have made my list, I did not put on it because of my own personal involvement. That would be the I Who series. Because I worked directly on those with Lars, I kind of felt like I don't know if I could include them on my list because I worked so much on them for many a month when Lars was putting it together and I was helping him out with that. So I left it off my list, not because I don't love it, because I do, and it certainly would be at the very top of my list because of everything. It's just everything that I love about Doctor Who, all of the talking about the books and then the audios and things like that. And I loved working on it and put it together with Lars. And I think it's a fantastic volume of work, despite what Lars thinks of it now. But I still think it's quite good. But I did leave it off my list just for, I don't know, conflict. There's other Mad Arena stuff on my list, but it wasn't things that I worked directly on. I mean, there may be some things that I edited, but I felt like without working directly on it, I could still include it on my list. So just a little caveat there before we go to our list. Okay, well, the way this is going to work is we're going to count down from 10. If something is on our top 10 list, but it's also on the others at an earlier position, we're going to hold off talking about it until we get to the earlier position. And I'll go ahead and start us off, and that's exactly what's going to happen with my number 10. My number 10 will be revealed on Ashley's list a little bit later, so we'll just have to wait and talk about that then.
Okay, so you want me to jump in?
Yes.
With my number 10? Okay. Mm-hmm. So my number 10 is actually a group of books, and it's a group of books that are very important. They're not necessarily the greatest right now, you know, to today's standards, but they were really important from when they came out, and that's what I call the Peter Hanning books. So these books include I'm actually picking my books up real quick, a few of them. There are a lot of these, but I'm going to just name a few here. You've got Doctor Who, The Key to Time, The Time Traveler's Guide, The Doctor Who File. A lot of these books were, some of them were news clippings. They were anything that had to do with the show's history and kind of like keeping up with kind of the creation of the show. And many of these came out like mid-80s, like around the time of the Five Doctors, and then some of them a little beyond that. But Peter Hanning did a lot of books through this era, and kind of is the impetus for a lot of the nonfiction books that we have today. And like I said, maybe not the best by any means, but very important, very critical in terms of looking at those at that era in nonfiction books. So, Josh, we were talking about this, and you pointed that out, that these books weren't on your list, but they were really important for Doctor Who and books.
No, totally agree. They are very, very influential because they were the precursor to the reference or nonfiction boom that happened during the wilderness years. These, of course, like you said, came out during the 80s, and they're very nice productions, nice hardcovers.
Lots of pictures.
Great
in
covers,
them.
Yeah. I mean,
pictures that you really don't see even to this day in other places.
I mean,
behind the scenes pictures.
The information in it may not always have been the most meticulously researched, but at that point in time, there was nothing else like it out on the market. And it is certainly a huge influence on the people who are going to follow up and start writing on the stuff in the 90s to today. So, I mean, they certainly have a big place in history. Even if they don't make my list, they are very important.
And I mean, these things dealt in all kinds of things. Even to the point where it would point out, you know, there's some notorious things like the script that Tom Baker wrote for a movie starring Vincent Price. A lot of that information was in here, and this would have been really early for that information to come out.
So which one would be your favorite?
You know, I'm not really gonna. I'm not in this particular. I'm not really gonna name a favorite. The one I probably used the most because of when I got these. I got these much later, like than when they came out. I got these in probably like I probably got the first one in like the mid to late 90s. So I was late on the bandwagon. And you know, Josh, you know the bookstore that's here near me at McKay's. That's where I first got these. So it would have been much later. But this is when I was still finding out a lot about Doctor Who. And like the background, and I kind of ate up anything I could find from that kind of that era, and I would just get these, and like I said, the Doctor Who file is probably the one I use the most. I've probably had 7 copies of it because I was at the Jeez. Point where anytime I would get it, anytime I would see it, and they would have it for like a buck, I would buy it and I would give it away. I've used those for giveaways at conventions. I've got 2 copies on my shelf right now. And you don't see them anymore at the bookstores that I go in. You don't see them as much, so I've not been able to buy them up. But But I would buy those up and give them to people because it would be a great way to just share that that kind of love that I have for Doctor Who with someone that might be kind of interested in learning about kind of the history of Doctor Who. And I really liked it. I mean, for that matter, like you said, it's not the greatest, maybe not the most meticulously researched, or and even some of the information in the Hannon books is kind of regurgitated. Like he uses a lot of the same information in those books. But I just like them. They're a lot of fun. I don't think I can say much more about them other than I if you have a chance to. I mean, the information's old at this point. They were important in a time like before the internet, I think. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. So if you get a chance, take a look at them. If nothing else, for the pictures that you may not see that in very many other places.
All right. Well, that takes us to number 9. And my number 9 is The Doctor, His Lives and Times. And this is a book by James Goss and Steve Tribe. And it's one of the more recent books on our list. It just came out last year, but it is a brilliant production. Basically, what this book is it is a book of the story of the Doctor, but told from an in-universe perspective. So the way that it works is, so there's a chapter on each Doctor, and the first half of the chapter is kind of a reproduction of things from inside the Doctor Who universe to tell the story of what happened for each Doctors. So, like, for example, in the third Doctor section, we've got bits of the Brigadier's autobiography talking about his time working with the Doctor. There's newspaper clippings of things that happened in London during that point in time, and it was recreated, like ticket stubs and things like that, from different stories. It's a very, very cool little production, and it's got a lot of pictures in it, and they even slid Clara into a Doctor Who story for each Doctor, so you can kind of see her in the background and in the pictures. It's kind of like a fun little game to go find where Clara was in each of the Doctor's histories to go see that. And so then the second half of each chapter is a series of quotes and comments from people involved in Doctor Who, or people like in modern Doctor Who talking about the previous years and then the section. And then it always has a series of comments from each of the actors portraying the Doctors. So it's got a little bit of information on it like that, but I mean the biggest, the coolest part of it is all of the in-universe way of showing like the history of the Doctor. Very, very slick production, very, very neat idea, something that we hadn't seen, something very, very different. And I really enjoyed it, kind of being able to see this the story of the Doctor being told from inside the universe, from the people that he's touched and the artifacts that he leaves behind. So I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, I haven't. That's a book that I've just kind of flipped through. I haven't had an opportunity to pick it up yet, but it does look really, really cool, and it's kind of on my list to get.
Yeah, highly recommend it. It's just such a neat little idea.
Okay, so my number 9 here is also an older book. This is from 1983. Another book that I've had several copies of because I would get them for really inexpensive. This is a book that my uncle years ago had gotten from like a library sale and gave to my dad, and it was on our shelf as I was growing up, and I would love to look at it. And that's the Doctor Who Technical Manual. Now, there are lots of things in this book that are just wrong in terms of the way some of the dimensions, but this is a book that gives you it takes you almost backstage. There's an introduction by John Nathan Turner, and he's talking about how the people that he likes to work with the most are the design group personnel that create sets and costumes and makeup and visual effects, and this kind of gives you a detailed look at some of the things that you may not see, you'd be able to get really good images of on the show. So they have the police box and dimensions for that, and they go into detail about the TARDIS toolbox, which is something that shows up in the 80s with Peter Davison, and it gives you a list of all the tools that are in there with diagrams of them and a little bit about what they do, Then the sonic screwdriver, it gives you that and lets you, you know, gives you dimensions for it. And this would be great if you were a prop builder or if, you know, you were building those kinds of things. This is just something that always really intrigued me. The TARDIS console is in it, and it's detailed drawings in a way that you really couldn't get from pictures. They're not quite blueprints, but it's designed like blueprints. It's kind of printed in a blue and white to give it that feel. But it kind of gives you everything. I always love to see the TARDIS console, but you never could find a picture that was just perfect. And it gives you all different angles of that. It tells you what all the different things do, what all the what's on each panel. It goes through the Daleks and Davros once again, breaking down, gives you a really cool anatomy of a Dalek, kind of cross section, and you know those kinds of things all through it. Now, people who are kind of prop makers and people that make those things have said that the dimensions, like for the Dalek, for instance, aren't necessarily accurate. And while you could build something from it, you would have to kind of work on things. There's also some neat colored pictures in the middle. There's about 2 pages worth. So you get the Whomobile, some up close pictures of pieces from the TARDIS toolkit, some kind of model shots and Daleks and things like that. There's K9, Cybermen. It goes through all the levels of Cybermen up to this point. So it doesn't go to the Earthshock Cybermen. It goes to the Revenge of the Cybermen with the Cybermat and all of those things. Lots of different robots, the Jaggeroth spaceship. I mean, all kinds of things. Just a really cool book and one that you don't see very often. And when I do see it, I try to pick it up once again to kind of have extras to give to people. I haven't done that in a long time, but I do once again have 2 of those books on my shelf. So just a fun book. It's a nostalgic thing for me. Not a perfect book, but a lot of fun.
It's a really neat book. I'm not a tech head. I know a lot of fans
and
like
I'm not
to
either,
get...
but I was when I was younger.
Well, sure. You I mean, and I think it does speak to a lot of a younger audience, but a lot of people love getting these type of technical manuals, whether it be like Star Trek has made like a huge industry on putting out these type of technical manuals on the ship and all the technology, and to a lesser extent like Star Wars, things like that. So it's only natural for Doctor Who to have one. And I actually just got this book about 6 months ago at a secondhand shop. I've never been really all interested in getting it, but I found one for just a couple of bucks. I was like, okay, why not? I grabbed it. It's really neat. Like you said, it's just something that I kind of flip through and see, oh, there's some neat designs. And like I said, I'm not a tech head, so I'm not really getting into the checking the veracity of, oh, the dimensions right and everything. It's just kind of neat to see how it all gets put together.
Well, one thing that's neat about this book is that's different from the Star Trek books is the Star Trek books are often written as if they were the technical manuals that the Starship Enterprise people would use, right?
Sure.
This book is written as if it's the prop designers that are making it. And so it's kind of, I mean, it does have some of the in-world stuff, but for the most part, it's almost written like, hey, you're getting a behind-the-scenes look of how, you know, how we make these props. And that may not be true, but that is the way it's presented. And I always thought that was kind of neat, too. And I'll talk a little bit more about that kind of stuff later on in my list.
All right. Well, that moves us to number 8.
Number 8.
My number 8 is Running Through Corridors by Robert Sherman and Toby Haydock. Now, this is one volume out so far of a supposed 3-volume series. And I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. It's not Mad Region's fault that the other ones haven't come out yet. You're still having to wait on Sherman and Toby Haydock to put it together and send it to us so they can be published. So just letting that out there. But can't rush quality. And they want to make sure everything is done right. And this book is just such an enjoyment to read because it really it's two friends watching all of Doctor Who in order over the course of a year. So they end up watching a certain number of stories every day and then conversing back and forth over like the phone or by email, and they transcribe it in this book. And just hearing them go back and forth and giving their thoughts, and of course Sherman and Haydock are very, very funny gentlemen, and just the humor that they inject into it, and it really feels feels like you're sitting in a conversation between the two of them, between two old friends talking about Doctor Who. And then you add into the fact that this was also during the year when we got to see the announcement of Matt Smith, and what they got to give us an idea what to think about that as the new series went through this gap year leading up to the introduction of Matt Smith as the new Doctor. So you get that angle as well, and you get their thoughts on it. It's just a cool little moment in history to follow, and I'm really looking forward to getting the next volumes in so that we can all enjoy, because I definitely want to see them go through the 70s and 80s as well.
Yeah, I really like this book as well. It's a lot of fun. It didn't make my list just because I was going for something a little different with my list, but it is a very fun list. I did come across it on my shelf for sure. So my number eight is the Doctor Who Program Guide by Jean-Marc Lefessier, who has been on the podcast before. We have talked to him. And this is one that I don't actually have with me because it's in my storage unit. But this is another book that I got a little late in the game. But this is the book where I learned how I was able to go through and look serial by serial or story by story and see all those things. You saw things like the production codes. You saw things like, was it novelized? All of those things. And I think the edition that I got was the last edition that they put out. It was either done, I think it was done by Virgin, but it may have been done when it was still Target. And they recently, and I say recently, like in the last 10 years, did another edition, maybe even more than 10 years ago, did a newer, updated edition of it. But the program guide was great in that you could take the book and you're like, oh man, I don't remember what Ghost Light was about. You turn to it, gives you synopsis of it, tells you when it was created, who was in it, all the people associated with it, was it novelized, all those kinds of things. It was a really good handbook just to get like a quick rundown of what a story was about. And that's something that I always love. Those are the kinds of books that I love. It was easy. It was literally a program guide, and I love that. And that's a book that would just stay in my pocket, and I would go out with it and be like, if I was just randomly thinking about, hey, I wonder what happened in The Gunfighters, I could pull it out and look it up and tell you that that was serial L or whatever, because that's when I first saw that they named the serials number or letters. That's how they did their production codes and things like that. So it was really cool. It's a way to see the history of Doctor Who and how it evolved. If you get a chance for this book, this is definitely one I would pick up, especially if you're interested in Classic Who and kind of want a guide for that. And I think it also referenced if they were available or not, like if they had been lost or not. And at that time, a lot more of them than are lost now were lost. So it is a bit dated in that respect.
Well, this is a completely natural pick. I think that when we all come to Doctor Who, there are books like these that are available, and is always going to be a calling to those particular books. I did not have one to the program guide, but that's because there was another book that served that same purpose that I will be talking about later.
Yes. And that book that you're going to be talking about also served that purpose. So, yeah.
So we'll talk about that when we get that on my list. But moving on from that, we're on number seven. And my number seven is the collections for the TARDIS Eruditorium by Philip Sandifer. Now, if you're not familiar with the TARDIS Eruditorium, you should be, because it is probably the second best critical analysis of Doctor Who that kind of puts things in a contextual manner. And so Sandifer has a blog called The TARDIS Eruditorium, where he goes through for each of the stories and with connecting material and writes a long essay on each, kind of giving ideas about what the story is about and how it relates to what's going on in the world at that point in time and his own opinions on it and things like that. Very, very well done analysis. Sandifer is he's very learned, and he certainly has a way of putting his thoughts together that I could never do, and I really, really am in awe of that. You can definitely tell that he is quite a genius. A lot of times, I don't agree with his analysis. I probably disagree with what he says just as much as I agree with what he says, and it just, I mean, tastes differ and things like that, perfectly normal. And then sometimes I think he kind of disappears up his own backside in his analysis from time to time. But on the whole, they are very, very brilliant analyses of the stories, and always have something interesting to say. And it just leads you to think a lot about the stories. At this point in time, he has done collections for the first, second, and third Doctor. He's done two for the fourth Doctor. And you can read all of his essays on his blog, but he's taken them and expanded upon them and done some original essays for the book. So it is still worthwhile of checking out the book, so just to either have it handy to you or to get the additional material. I'm particularly fond of the second Doctor one. So well worth checking out. If you want just to get an idea of what it is, you can go to his blog and check it out. It is well worthwhile, and it's guaranteed to get a reaction out of you in some form or fashion, either by infuriating you over the analysis or to have you thinking, I've never thought about it that way. It's brilliant. And he's certainly somebody who should be read, and you may not always agree with him, but he is very, very intelligent and always has a good point to bring up to make you think.
It's one I have not picked up, and I will definitely have to do that. That sounds really, really fantastic.
Yeah, you got to get into it there, Ashley, to get in. I mean, like, it's definitely diving into the deep end of analysis, because he really digs in deep, and he brings in all sorts of social theory and stuff into his opinions. So it's not for everyone, but if you like really taking a good critical analysis of Doctor Who and the way that it kind of has changed and impacted the world over 50 years, it's definitely worth checking out.
All right. So my number seven is a pure nostalgic pick. I think all of the ones I picked to this point have been purely nostalgic. But this is the first nonfiction book that was on my shelf as I was growing up. My dad had this book, incredibly dated at this point. It was dated when I had it, when I used it. But this is a book. It's called The Doctor Who Illustrated A to Z. It's by Leslie Standrig, and that's all it is. It's a dictionary. It's a Doctor Who dictionary. And the reason I mean, there's tons of these, and you could pick any of these, and they'd all be fantastic. This just happens to be, like I said, it's a purely nostalgic pick. It's a hardback book. It goes until the sixth Doctor, I think, about. It doesn't even go to the end of the sixth Doctor. It goes to like the Mark of the Rani, or something like that. I don't even think it gets the Trial of a Time Lord. And it's funny because the Mark of the Rani is mentioned as the Master's last appearance, but the Rani is not in the book. So it gives you a little bit about kind of how it was produced and those kinds of things. So incredibly dated, and you could put any like kind of dictionary kind of book in this slot for me, and it would be good. The reason I picked this one, like I said, is this book, my dad had it. It was on the shelf. This is probably the reason that I when we would watch Doctor Who on PBS, or we'd record it on VHS and watch it, I pulled this book out, and I would follow along it kind of with this, oh, well, that character showed up in this episode too. And that's kind of how I got into the whole story of Doctor Who, is this book. So this book's actually really important to me. I really tried to put this as number one on my list. It's not a great book by any means, and I'm not going to suggest that you go out and look for it. But for me, it's an important book. Because this is probably the book that is the reason I'm talking to you on a podcast right now. I'll just be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that would have made my list, but I completely understand it. I can definitely see how it would appeal to like a young child who was looking to discover Doctor Who. I mean, they put out collections aimed toward children nowadays, like the Doctor Who encyclopedias they currently produce, very well slick productions that are, you know, not very complicated, and they kind of just give the basic information and all different monsters and things like that. But that's what you want to kind of feed the youth of today, to get them into Doctor Who, and this would have been your version of it back when you were a kid, so I completely understand why it's on your list.
I mean, that's it's like I said, pure nostalgia. There's no value in this book now. I mean, there really isn't. There's a there's 7, 10, 20 other books you could get to put in this position, and it's just, like I said, purely nostalgic, but it's important to me.
All right, that takes us to number 6, and my number 6 will be on Ashley's list a little bit later. So I will sit back and observe the history of everything else going on while I wait for it to come up.
Okay, well, this one is not a nostalgic pick. Here, this one is a new book, and this is the only really like new book that made my list. And this is Whoology. Now, this book is very much like some other books that are on Josh's list higher up. This, you know, it kind of just gives you a miscellaneousy going through Doctor Who. It gives you a little bit of facts about the actors, about just the show, you know, looking through the list of chapters. It gives you tons of charts, which is really cool. Looking through the list of chapters, you've got the Doctor's best friends, companions, and other allies. You've got Carnival of Monsters, where they're talking about monsters and, you know, first lines, returning monsters, different things, just miscellaneously. And it goes throughout the entire history of the show, and I think it goes through most of seasons. I think it might go through the first part of season 7. It may go through just through season 6, but I think it goes through the first part of season 7. It goes pretty close. Really cool things. I'm not going to talk about it too much. There's other books that are on Josh's list that are really like this, and I kind of picked this one so I would have a new book, because some of those books are, well, they're not identical, and there's use in all of them. I think this one is just a modern one, and it's a neat, probably one of the best modern books that I've gotten. That I just really like. It's just a kind of cool little trivia book. Neat stuff, though.
No, I totally agree. This almost made my list. Now, this is by Kevin Scott and Mark Wright, two people that I'm big fans of, and their Big Finish work and their other items of work. And I really like this. This is basically like Doctor Who the Almanac, and it's just got a bunch of random facts and lists and things in there that lots of interesting information, and it's just kind of neat to have it all in one little compact book. Very well put together. I love the cover, and it's just full of neat little bits of trivia that you wouldn't think to do, and then like all these lists that they put together in there. Things that you always thought of, and now you've got it in a list, easy way to look it up. It really is a kind of indispensable volume of a Doctor Who almanac.
Yeah, really, really fun.
Okay, well, that takes us to number 5, and my number 5 will show up on Ashley's list in just a moment.
Yeah, so my number 5 is a book we've actually talked about on the podcast before, and that is The Nth Doctor. And I believe, Josh, that is your number
5. That is my number 5 as well.
So this is the only book that we matched. We put it at the same point in our list. The Nth Doctor, of course, is once again by Jean-Marc Lefissier. And I actually highly recommend you going back and listening to the episode that we did with him. He was fantastic, came on the show, and talked a lot about this book. This book, though, is about scripts that weren't made. It may have been versions of the TV movie that didn't get produced. It may have been, you know, it talks a little bit about Doctor Who and the Scratch Man, which is Tom Baker's script. It has a lot of things like that is in there. And it's a really fantastic book to give you kind of an idea of what was going on behind the scenes as Doctor Who was off the air, and or even before it was off the air, but when it was off the air. And then all the, you know, people were battling for the rights, and they wanted to make movies, and you know, Leonard Nimoy wanted to make a movie, and you know, they were talking about Pierce Brosnan playing the Doctor, and all these things. Really cool piece of history, though.
Yeah, this book is so cool. Absolutely loved it when I got it back in the day, and it became my handle everywhere. I loved Nth Doctor, so now it's my email address, it's my handle on Gallifrey Brace, it was my handle back on the old Outpost Gallifrey forums, and I love just the idea of looking at all of these could have been, would have been stories, and seeing like the good ideas, the horrible ideas, and it gives you a great appreciation of what we actually did end up with in the TV movie when you could have had all sorts of crazy things like the rapping TARDIS and just like, oh my God. And then there's also things
Power
that,
of the Crystals, Cardinal.
Yeah, I mean, and then the things that, oh, if we only could have gotten things like, oh, we could have had Benny on TV and had this cool adventure, everybody's together, and, that whole Dark Dimension thing could have, it was such a cool idea, too bad it was not the best person behind it. But just being able to read about it and getting the idea of what these stories were is just wonderful to have. And it, again, gives a great insight onto what was happening when Doctor Who was off the air and the behind-the-scenes stuff of how it could have been. And this didn't make my list or yours, actually, but there, kind of a companion piece, Doctor Who Regeneration by Gary Russell, which talks about the bringing of the actual TV movie, kind of a companion piece of this, because that shows how that TV movie actually came together. So it's also recommended, but it didn't make our list, but it's kind of a companion piece to this part that did.
This is another book that I literally carried around with me for a time. I carried it in my bag, in my pocket sometimes. It went everywhere with me. And I would read this cover to cover over and over. And there are very few books that I would do that with, especially books. I would do that with these nonfiction books often. And a book that's later on my list, I'll talk about doing that as well. But love this book. This is one of the biggest inspirations for me in terms of a lot of the way I create things kind of evolved from some of the things that I learned about in these books. So, or in this book particularly. This one is a great one. I would go out and look for this one if you can. This is one that I would recommend you, that you need on your shelf.
All right, so that takes us to number four, and my number four is Bernie Summerfield, The Inside Story. Now, The Inside Story, it was a series of books that Big Finish started up. They first did one for their main range of Doctor Who audio adventures leading up to Zagreus, and it's kind of a background on how each story came to be, comments from the author and things like this. I much prefer the Bernie Summerfield one, because I think Simon Gurrier, when putting this together, he was in charge of Benny at that point in time, and he's writing this from the point of view of everything that led up to his reign of production on Benny and the ideas that he was forming from the information that came before to what he came to produce in Bernie Summerfield, and then the stuff that he did in that production was my absolute favorite stuff of Benny, and the some of my favorite audio stuff whatsoever, just the stuff that Gurrier was doing. And so it gives an idea of Benny's genesis, lots of information from Carl Cornell, hey, how he came up with her. It gives an analysis of all of her new adventure appearances with the Doctor, talking to the authors and into her own stories and then into her own audio adventures. Just so much good information and inside stories from the authors, from the production teams, a little bit of background of how they came up with the ideas of where they were going with her and how they plotted things out, character analyses and talking to the actors and what they felt about what the portrayals were doing. So much good stuff in this book. Cannot recommend it enough. For a guide to Doctor Who, I mean, it's all about Benny, but Benny is just a big part of Doctor Who, as you could imagine, especially from the Wilderness Years fans, and it shows how she came about with the Doctor, moved into her own line, and really was able to stand on her own, and it's just a brilliant analysis, everything that's great about Benny and leading into the future. Can't recommend that enough.
again, a book that I've not really gotten into, but that sounds fantastic. I'm going to have to look for that one.
Oh, it's so good. I love it.
Yeah, so that one, that's fantastic. This one, I was trying to go through and find like kind of categories of things that I loved, and I was kind of split on this one. But for this one, I chose Script Doctor, which is kind of Andrew Cartmell's memoir of his time working on his era of Doctor Who. It gets a little bit into the Cartmell Master Plan, but it talks about just the day-to-day working with John Nathan Turner, how John Nathan Turner would get angry at them if they went out to eat without him, things like that. He told really great stories. But he also told a lot of the information like behind the stories, behind, you know, working with particular people, working with Pip and Jane Baker, all those kinds of things he talked about and kind of led that into how it kind of stayed with him throughout his whole career, even when he's worked on other shows and things like that. And this is a book that there's been a new edition since when I read it. And I think there may have added like a foreword or maybe a little bit of information in that, but they haven't added a ton. But I would recommend this one. This one was great. I know Andrew Cartmell's doing a lot of conventions right now, so it would be a chance to, if you're the convention going kind of person, and you get a chance to talk to Andrew Cartmell about this book or any of his stuff, I would highly recommend you doing that. But pick up a copy of this book because it tells the behind the scenes story of that era of Doctor Who like I've never seen told before. And it's really, really fantastic. I highly recommend this one.
Yeah, this is an awesome choice. I love this book. I almost wish I had put it on my list. It's the behind the scenes of my absolute favorite era of Doctor Who and getting the ideas and seeing the things that he had to put up with and just the new breath that he brings to Doctor Who. And Cartmell, he's a cool guy. And, if you like the interview that we did with him back in the day, and this book is that and more. So just getting the idea of who he is and how he approached Doctor Who and what he was doing with it. And just a great insight into the production at a very tumultuous era of Doctor Who, and that he was able to put it all together and give us the wonderful stories that we got is amazing.
And it is very specific to the TV show. Now, he has other books where he has another book called Through Time, where he does talk about he kind of goes back and gives the same treatment to other script editors' times on the show, which is really interesting. But Script Doctor is a book that I literally couldn't put it down. Like, I read that book incredibly quickly because it was so exciting, like hearing these stories and, you know, hearing how he kind of discovered Sophie Aldred and how he found they had really cool similarities and how he was influenced by The Watchmen and comic books and vinyl and all these things and how all that stuff kind of plays into his episodes, the episodes that he helped script edit. Really, really great. I know we're just praising these, but these are our favorites, so that's what we do. But yeah, I'd highly recommend it.
All right, number three. Now, this is my nostalgic choice. Ashley had his program guide. I had the discontinuity guide by Paul Cornell, Martin Day, and Keith Topping. It's kind of a more irreverent look at Doctor Who than the program guide, but it gives you all the same information from the program guide, gives you an idea about the stories, gives some critiques and some dialogue from it. This I read till it fell apart. When I got into Doctor Who, this was what I went to find out what I need to watch next and help me form my opinions. And like I read it to literally the cover came off and just it disintegrated. I went through it so much. I referred to this guide so many times, and it I guess helps make me who I am today. My pro wilderness years, new adventures leanings come a lot from this book, because the ideas that they are putting forth in their new adventures and the other version materials, they definitely voice that in this discontinuity guide and with their ideas of what stories were good and which ones were not. It's a precursor to so many other analysis books that are done in Doctor Who now. nowadays. But for me, I mean, this is the golden oldie that gave me everything I needed to know to get into the world of Doctor Who. So it's my nostalgic choice.
Yeah, and this is another good pick. This is a book that I didn't get until much later. And when I say much later, I mean like early 2000s. Another book that I did find at the used bookstore locally. And when I did get the book, I did. I just kind of like went and read it cover to cover. Really cool things in it. And like you said, much more irreverent. But another great choice for that kind of thing. If you want to learn about classic Doctor Who and how that works, this is a perfect place to do it. My number three is actually a little later on Josh's list, so I will skip that one.
And you can, how about you give me some time to get to it, which I will get to right now, because my number two is Ashley's number three. And honestly, this probably has a good case to make my number one on my list, but I put it at number two, and that is the About Time series by Lawrence Miles and Tat Wood. Now, I mean, this is a Mad Norwegian production, so I do have a tenuous connection to it, but I don't care, because these are brilliant looks at the production of Doctor Who, and gives a great analysis, including the connotation of what was going on, references to things going on politically, culturally, and entertainment-wise, how it all impacted the production of Doctor Who, has some brilliant essays in it. I lean towards the stuff that had Miles working on it more than Tad. My view is probably more in line with Lawrence Miles. So the later volumes, I'm not as big of a fan of, but the first volumes, I just cannot get enough of. I refer to them constantly, and I constantly go back and reread them, because it's just such a brilliant analysis. I know a lot of people think it's got lots of inaccuracies in it, and of course it's flavored from the points of view of Tat and Lawrence, but for my money, I don't care. I mean, if you're doing a critical analysis, you're going to have your own voice in it, and you don't get much better of a voice than Lawrence Miles, for good or bad. He's certainly an opinionated individual, and he looks at things from an askew viewpoint from time to time, but I think he really gets Doctor Who, and he cares passionately about it, and just the analysis that goes into it, the amount of work, the amount of details being brought up. It is a brilliant production, and I don't think it's been matched by anybody to this point in time, and it is just the definitive work of critical analysis on Doctor Who for my money.
Yeah, this book is phenomenal, and when I say book, it's what are there, seven of them? This book's great. It goes through kind of decade by decade, season by season, and just walks through cultural issues, walks you through, I don't recall, does it go through every episode?
Yes.
Yeah, so I've not looked at it in a while. So it goes through every episode, talks about cultural things. The first one to come out was About Time 3, mm-hmm. which was the third Doctor one, and they've since revamped that one. But, you know, they talk about how, like, David Bowie reacted to Doctor Who and things like that. And the things that influenced Doctor Who and, you know, Terry Nation hating the fact that people wanted to pit the Cybermen against the Daleks and the political things that played into, you know, his decisions and those kinds of things. And also it gives a very... it gives essays on, you know, why things were the way they were or why things weren't.
Love the essays. The essays are my favorite parts in these books. I love going through and reading the essays just for the ideas that they put forward. It's kind of very similar, because this continuity guy had a lot of essays in it as far as like trying to make things work continuity wise. And it's just the extension of that About Time takes it and goes like 100 levels above it. And I just can't get enough of that.
Yeah, so this is a fantastic book, and this is one that I was like, I wish this was higher on my list, but I kind of went for a more nostalgic look on this. Like I said, this is number three on my list, but this is one that when it came out, it just overwhelmed, and I really had to have this on my list because it's really important. It's probably the most important series of books for Doctor Who. If you got no other, there are books higher than this on my list, but if there were no other books that you wanted to spend money on, get this series of books because it tells you everything you need to know and more. It like Josh said, it is skewed from the point of view. Some people don't particularly like Lawrence Miles' point of view. And like Josh said, some people prefer it. Understand that going into it. But if you want a guide for every episode and some of the things going on culturally and kind of what caused the episodes, what was going on at the time, this is an important book. So take a look at this book for sure.
Well, I think this is your number two.
And my number two is actually Josh's, I think, number 10.
Yep.
So this is he waited to talk about this one until now. But that is The Handbooks, which Virgin put out originally. And it was reprinted several years ago. And that's by David Howe. I think it's actually by several people. David Howe, Stephen Walker, and Mark Stammers. And that actually might be the authors for the – I think David Howe did the original ones, right? Or did all of them do those?
I think they all worked on them.
I have the big copy here. Again, that's something that's in my storage unit. But specifically the Third Doctor handbook. The Third Doctor is not necessarily my favorite era. But this handbook, once again, nostalgic to me. I picked this book. We talked years ago, maybe the first episode. We talked about how, Josh, we had the connection of media play in kind of how our fandom kind of hit. Mm. Finding things. And this is a book that I picked up at Media Play back in the mid 90s, probably about 99, 98. And I hit this book. I picked up the Third Doctor handbook because it was the only one they had. Had they had the Fourth Doctor handbook, I probably would have picked that one up. This book made me decide that I wanted to go into TV production. And that is my major in college. I basically chose my career based on this book. I read this book and I was like, it was literally a life-changing book. I read about production and how the TV show was made and what all the roles were, you know, script editor, producer, and I'd never seen that side of it before. And I couldn't put the book down. And this, no, it was before 98. It would have been earlier than that. This book kind of marked my future. I mean, one of the reasons I do video production and those kinds of things, one of the reasons I do that stuff is because of this book. This book is a life changer. So that's why it's so high on my list, is because it really changed the way I perceived my future. That might sound weird or whatever, but it really is a book that affected me. It literally affected the direction of my life.
Yeah, so these came out started coming out like in 93, 94, and
so it was probably 96 when I got a hold of this.
Yeah, so I mean, these are very significant in kind of the whole nonfiction reference books, because it is one of the earlier. I think I remember it being like the first ones of like reference books that I ever really noticed about Doctor Who. Certainly not the first, but it was the beginning of the onslaught of reference books that would starting in the 90s. And it made a big impact on me because it really gave an insight into the production, an insight into the characters. There's like each handbook has a different type of focus of an essay in it. And just like you said, Ashley, it didn't lead me to go into television, but it really is a neat, and I hate using the word neat, but it's this look behind the scenes in the production of the creation of each era. And it really gives you an idea of the differences between those eras. And it really stands as like the grandfather of what we get in analysis in Doctor Who nowadays. So it's kind of a nostalgic pick for me, I guess. But I really do think that it stands as one of the big building blocks in Doctor Who reference guides materials.
Yeah. And, you know, I think when it came out, I was like, oh, this isn't all that important, I guess. I mean, it was just like, I kind of thought it was just, because it's something you don't hear a lot about. I mean, people don't talk about those a ton anymore, but it was a big deal when they did the reprint where they published them all in one book. I remember that being a huge deal on the forums and such. And I think that publication came out in probably like 2006, maybe even before that, actually. I think I got it in about 2006. Looking at it here, 2005, so that was close. So yeah, so it's a really important book in kind of, like you said, in the building blocks. But yeah, for me, I mean, it's incredibly important.
It kind of sets a format because, if I recall, it's got like sections on like each book has like the same sections. There's like an interview section, then there's like a kind of a guide to each story section, and then there's the behind the scenes production section.
Well, and the behind the scenes production section is really interesting because they take one story and they walk you through from idea to finished production to broadcast and it would walk, and I can't remember what the story was for the Third Doctor one, but it was, they were talking about how they decided to make decisions. They made decisions about using chroma key and things like that. And it was fascinating to me as someone that was kind of interested in production at the time and kind of led me to go into that. And now I do chroma key on almost a daily basis. So.
All right. Well, I guess that takes us to our number ones, huh?
Number one.
Okay. Well, so my number one, and this will probably tell a lot about me as far as what I pick as being the number one Doctor Who reference material nonfiction book in existence. This is a book that I have read more than just about any other Doctor Who related book in existence. I read it at least once every year, and it is a book that you can easily take with you. It's good bathroom reading. It's good reading just when you need something on the go and you want to sit down and spend a little bit of time reading, and it makes me laugh still to this day. I just find it so funny, and that is the Completely Useless Encyclopedia and its sequel that was published by Mad Norwegian Press a little bit later, the Completely Unauthorized Encyclopedia. Just this idea of having this like encyclopedia entry book of crazy, zany, funny as hell bits, and it's just so funny. I cannot get enough of this. It just doing things like talking about like what are the most obscene monsters in Doctor Who, and list of the most worthless merchandise and things like that.
I think it also tells you like where to see like where you can find people who have been on Doctor Who naked.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it does.
Things like that.
It is just so funny. And there's a quote in it that I still use constantly to this day. And then they're talking about the Master, and they call the Master nuttier than squirrel shites. It's just like, and that quote has stuck with me for 20 some odd years. Every time someone talks about the Master, I'm like, yeah, that guy's nuttier than squirrel shit. And I just laugh every time I read that book. I just cannot get enough of it. It is completely irreverent to the material, and you have to be able to take a joke, and you have to know that there's a lot in Doctor Who that is just completely crazy and silly, and you've got to know how to take a joke about it and poke fun at it, and it's just so fun. Can't get enough of it. It is the thing that if you are a Doctor Who fan, you haven't read it, you need to get, because it is just so funny. Now, it's probably of its era. You'd probably get more if you're a new series fan getting the sequel, because it's definitely written from a new series type of point of view. But the original one for me, it's just from that point in time, for me getting the Doctor Who and learning about the jokes and everything like that, there's just nothing better, nothing funnier. And I read it every year without fail.
This is another book that I got a little later, once again, at the used bookstore. And it's a book that I have. I do read it. I haven't probably read it as thoroughly as I probably should have, and I think this gives me an excuse to go to my storage unit and pull out some books that I haven't read in a while and give them another look, because this is definitely one on my list to do that with. So my number one was what was mine on your list, Josh?
My number six.
Your number six. So this is A History of the Universe, and this has been reprinted a few times, actually, in terms of doing different editions. And it basically takes us through the history of Doctor Who, and it gives us a timeline, kind of a chronological timeline for how the events of the show unfolds. So in terms of the TARDIS going places and kind of the universe that it's in. Now, the first edition, A History of the Universe, is the one that I love the new edition too, and even some things change as things as they start putting these things together. A few of the things have to change to make things work. But this is another fantastic, and this is by Lance Parkin, by the way. I didn't say that, but the first one was published, I think it was published by Virgin, right?
Yes, it was published by Virgin.
And that's the one, I love that one. That's another one that I carried around in my pocket with me all the time. And this one is the first time, the reason this is number one on my list is this is the book, I ordered this book from, I think, WhoNA. It was one of the first, internet orders I made ever. And I got it. And since then, I've had several copies of it. But I remember getting this book and just being open to a whole new world of Doctor Who and, like, the interconnectedness of it. Again, I got this book much later than when it originally came out. It was a book that I wanted for a long time, and I showed it. I got it, and this was probably like 1999, maybe early 2000s. But I remember getting the book and just being amazed at this, the interconnectedness of Doctor Who and how it all worked together. I had never really realized that at this point. Also, that book introduced a few things from, I think it got into the novels. That's right, Josh. It did, right? In the first edition?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it kind of like placed the novels within other continuity. And I just had no clue. And that is why that book is so important to me. And that I didn't realize how interconnected Doctor Who really was until I saw that book. And that book, to me, is a really important book for just understanding where everything fits. And like I said, there are newer editions of that. There's one that came out in the early days of the new series, I think like season one. And then they put one out since then that was like, what, like season six? Or no, not season six, like season, takes us up through like season four or something like that.
No, I think the last edition goes through season six. I don't remember. Six? I should know. I had to read it all, so edit it. But I can't remember if it goes season five or season six. I think it's through season six. I think it does go through season six.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic. The new editions are fantastic as well. For me, it's a nostalgic thing. That first edition of it is just really, really fun.
Yeah, this is an astronomically difficult endeavor to even begin to think of. It was a big endeavor when Lance first put it together back in the 90s for the Virgin edition. And nowadays, when you've got everything that's on TV, plus all of like the Big Finish and the comics and everything else that he puts on there, like I don't even know where he even begins to put it straight. Just the sheer amount of work and dedication alone makes this list worthy for a top 10 list because just of all the work. But when you see it all put together in this big, giant, massive timeline.
And in footnotes.
Yeah, right. And all the footnotes and how things connect. Like, it is just a staggering accomplishment. And to be able to see everything from the beginning of the universe to the end of the universe that the Doctor has done, it's just, this is why we are fans and fanboys, to be able to have this type of material, just like, look, oh wait, I need to know what was the Doctor doing in the 17th century at this point in time. Well, all right, here's all the things that happened in the 17th century. Or if you're trying to keep the future history of the new adventures in your mind, like which story, like how do the adjudicators in the third Doctor's era match up with the adjudicators from the new adventures, and what's the timeline there? Like, it's all there in the book. It is just probably the ultimate Doctor Who reference guide that you need, because it's got everything in it if you need to refer to any sort of story the Doctor has been in. And for that, it's just a marvelous achievement. It deserves to be on our list.
And not to mention, you know, a whole section on like Gallifrey timing and unit dating and where the Daleks come from and like the various options that you can go for the Daleks. you know, you have two options to follow kind of thing. And they try to make sense of those, but sometimes they just say, hey, there's two options here.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously this is, you know, Lance and Lars doing the best they can to make it all fit. And it 50 years of material, things aren't always going to fit perfectly. But they do the best they can. They make everything fit as well as they can. And it's amazing how they put it together. And of course, it is from their point of view. So,
well, and again,
and they have to
kind of
guess. I mean, there's no telling on, like, what story X – There's no calendar and there's nothing giving you a date. They got to try to figure out, well, this is based on the depiction of the world at this point in time and for how the technology looks. Like, we got to set it here, and that is a achievement. Like, the sit there and have to think about it in that form of fashion. Like, all right, here's what fits in. It's not the end all be all because there's a lot of guesswork involved in it, but I guarantee you that it's the most researched placement that it could possibly go into.
Yeah, and once again, you've got essays, not quite essays like we're used to seeing maybe, but, you know, just like kind of like reasons why things were dated the way they were and things like that. Sure. So really fantastic book, any edition of it. If you got an older edition, it's going to be much more dated, obviously. But any edition of this is fantastic, and I highly recommend. This is one I do recommend you to have on your shelves. I think this and About Time are books that any Doctor Who fan really need to have.
I couldn't agree more. So that's our top 10 list of the best, at least to us personally, Doctor Who reference and nonfiction books. There's so many of them out there these days, and there are so many that are worth your time. These are just our personal favorites. So if we miss one of your personal favorites, do apologize. There's so much good stuff out there, and it was so difficult just to cut it down to 10. There's so many other books that we wanted to talk about and things to put on there. I mean, things like The Writer's Tale and stuff like that. Like, wanted to make our list, but we had to cut it down, and a lot of it was, you know, just our personal preferences. So
right, and I think like A Writer's Tale would have been both of ours number 11. Or close to
close.
It. We talked about that. It would have been it was between A Writer's Tale and Script Doctor for me, like where it went on the list there. But yes, so there's some fantastic ones out there. I really enjoyed this.
As did I.
Top 10 list. It let us delve into something that I'm very passionate about in Doctor Who. So, but also, if you are interested in we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from you about your favorite nonfiction books as well. So you can do that by, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us an email at theoncomingstormpodcast@gmail.com. You can get us on Twitter. You can find Josh at @theoncomingjosh. You can find me at Islear. That's IZLEAR. And of course, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/theoncomingstormpodcast. And we would love to, I'll be sure to put up a post on Facebook talking about getting you all to tell us your favorite nonfiction book, because I think those are really important. That's a great place to do that. And finally, you can find us on iTunes, where you probably found this podcast, and we would love for you to give us a rating there.
All right. Well, thank you, Ashley. This was certainly a pleasure. A little bit different, but great to talk about some stuff that we probably wouldn't be able to get like full episodes on because, you know, there's not much to say, you know, nonfiction wise, like, oh, we like it a lot and it tells you this. But it's good to just give an idea, and maybe some people might have not known about some of these, or maybe they want to go check out. I always meant to, and maybe our recommendation will push them over the edge. But yeah, all of them are good. Anything on this list, I think we would both recommend that it's always worth a look to go
something
find
similar
it out.
To sure, it. Sure. I, my illustrated guide is purely nostalgic, but something similar to that is worth having on your shelf.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure. Be sure to join us in a week's time. We'll be back on Big Finish, and we'll be talking about The Axis of Insanity by Simon Furman. So be sure to join us for that. Other than that, take care, everybody, and we will see you in a week.
We'll see you soon.
Good night.
You have been listening to The Oncoming Storm, a Doctor Who spinoff media podcast. All thoughts and opinions are solely those of the host and do not represent those of Mad Norwegian Press, the Timegate Convention, or any other organizations they manage to worm their way into. Contact us at theoncomingstormpodcast@gmail.com or through Facebook. Be sure to like our page on Facebook to get all of the latest information on the show. Get new episodes through iTunes or at our website, www.theoncomingstorm.libsyn.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.